It's time for CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Find us on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Music, YouTube, and TuneIn. The easiest thing to do is tell Alexa or Siri to play CBJ in 30. Here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
It is the weekend, and it is time for the Blue Jackets to go back to work. Welcome to CBJ and 30. It's presented by Telhio Credit Union. At Telhio Credit Union, they have just about every service that you can imagine, and they have it for you whether you're looking as an individual or they have it for you if you're looking because you have a business. Either way, they've got what you're looking for. They've got what it takes to take care of you is what I'm trying to say, and they've got all the information that is right there at your fingertips. All you have to do is go online to find it at telhio.org. Maybe it's a checking account. Maybe it's a savings account. Maybe it's a loan that you need, a personal loan, business loan, whatever the case. The information is right there. If you can't find it as you're scrolling through and as you're clicking through, there is a button that you can click and you can get live chat help. Right there, real-time answers from the people that want to take care of you, the people that know how to take care of you at Telhio Credit Union. Telhio Credit Union is open to everyone in Central and Southwestern Ohio. They are federally insured by NCUA. So the Blue Jackets getting set to take on the Anaheim Ducks tonight at Nationwide Arena. They'll then jump on a plane and go to Carolina and play the Red Hot Hurricanes tomorrow night. But Anaheim comes into this game having lost last night. They played in Pittsburgh. They fell to the Penguins 2-1. John Gibson, a Pittsburgh native, made the start in goal and took the loss for the Ducks last night. Then you had Andre Kasha, who had the only goal for Anaheim, as Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel both tallied goals for the Penguins last evening. Now, the Ducks, they have a different look to them coming into this game tonight that you will notice very quickly. You'll notice on the ice without Corey Perry being there. Corey Perry this summer was bought out of the remainder of his contract by the Anaheim Ducks. He then went on to sign with the Dallas Stars. So no Corey Perry anymore. For years, it was Getzlaff and Perry. Perry and Getzlaff. That's all it was. Well, now Corey Perry is gone. So that's one of the big, most noticeable things on the ice. And then behind the bench, Randy Carlyle is no longer the head coach. Dallas Eakins is now the head coach of the Ducks. He was with them in the American Hockey League in San Diego last year. He is getting his second go-around here in the NHL as a head coach. So he's a younger guy. He's got great ideas. He's got some very interesting ideas when it comes to training and all of those things. He's bringing some new things to the Anaheim Ducks is what I'm trying to say. So those are the two biggest changes for Anaheim that you will see here tonight. For the Blue Jackets, what do they need to change? Not much from the way they played on Monday against Buffalo when they won in overtime 4-3. They've just got to keep the puck out of the net, and they've got to score more than the other guys. It's really just that simple. But the Blue Jackets did have a good team game on Monday, and they need to come back with that again tonight. But one of the biggest things, if not the biggest talk with the Blue Jackets all during the offseason, through training camp, and now even through the first games of the regular season, is the goaltending. The Blue Jackets have two young goaltenders in Jonas Korpisalo, who has been the backup here for the last 3 years and is now getting a chance to get the job on a regular basis, and Elvis Merzlikins, who has come over from playing in Switzerland, and Merzlikins is trying to get adjusted to the NHL game. He's got a ton of promise, but has started one game, and it was a game that he was not good in when he got pounded by the Pittsburgh Penguins, who scored 7 goals against him last Saturday night. So that's your goaltending tandem, and who better to talk about what's going on with those two guys and much more than the goaltending coach of the Blue Jackets, Manny Legacy.
Well, Manny, thanks for taking some time with me. I appreciate it.
You gave me no choice.
Yeah, I know. I did. Actually, I gave you a choice. We haven't asked you one thing about the goaltenders yet. We have you've got – look, how often – or can you think of any other situation in all the years you've been associated with this league that there has been a team like this Blue Jackets team where you have
two young goaltenders, where I think coming into the season there were 81 games of NHL experience between the two. And, oh, by the way, all of those games belonged to one of the two. It's not. Maybe it's going to be something that's it's going to be more of the norm as we go along in this league because of the, you know, where the youth is coming in and all that. But right now, it's a little bit of a different type situation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's extremely different. You know, where you had a guy dominating the Swiss League and World Championships, was having really good outputs in those tournaments. And, you know, so when you have a guy like that, you're going to give him an opportunity, you know, and he deserves it the way he's played and the way he's presented himself. And, you know, he's still got things to learn about the National Hockey League because it's a different game. You know, and he will, and he is. He's adapted very well so far. It's just, you know, fine-tuning, and, you know, when you have to play against Sidney Crosby and Malkin, and that's your first game, it's welcome to the National Hockey League. And but he's learning, and he's soaking it all in. His work ethic is awesome, amazing. And on the other side, you have Corpy, who's made big adjustments at the end of last year, and he's still making adjustments, and, you know, he had a really strong game. He had a really strong preseason. I thought it was the best he's seen him play in a long time. And then kind of got back to his old habits in the first game, and he knows it just because of the nerves and the opening night and all that stuff. But then Buffalo game, he was right back to where he was in preseason and the end of last year, and I thought he played extremely well.
And looking at these guys separately, and there's nobody that knows him better than you. And starting with Korpisalo, you had him in Cleveland when you were the goaltending coach for the Monsters. You had him there. You had him when that team was winning a Calder Cup, for crying out loud. And now you get him here. So you've been able to develop a really good relationship with him. So when you say that he got back to his old habits and he knew it, is it to the point with you where you just have to – maybe you don't even have to say a word. Maybe even give him a look at this point.
No, it was funny because we do video after every game, and – He came in, and, you know, he threw out a word that I was just – it floored me, and I just started laughing the whole time. And I was basically, oh, I guess we don't have to do video. You know, he knew it. And, you know, and then he proved – and this is how he's grown. This is the big thing since he first got over in his green and yellow pads. I can still remember him. And he came over at the end of the year in Springfield before we moved to Cleveland. And – he was just flying around and just relying on reflexes and his athletic ability, which is off the charts. And there was no concept of the game. It was just see the puck, try and get to it as fast as I can, and then to where now it's detailed in everything he's doing now. And I think that's a big thing being with Bob. And he learned a lot, you know, how detailed Bob was about his game and his work ethic off the ice and what he ate and what it become a starter and what it takes. And that's the huge change I've seen in him. And it's talking about it, just doing video with him last year and this year, it's become a different person. Even in Cleveland, it was still just see the puck, try and stop the puck, and, you know, try and be as athletic as flying around as much as possible. And where now it's detailed and it's fun to work with, you know. And when he comes in the office and goes, I know, I was this, and I'm like, and I was like, okay, we don't have to do video.
Now, of course, the other thing, you know, not only the relationship he has with you, but you have a wealth of experience in your own right. I mean, you know what it's like to be that guy that was the backup and, hey, you're going to play once every 2-3 weeks. And now all of a sudden, hey, guess what? We want you to play every day. We need you to play every day. We need you to be on top of your game every day. How much have you been able to help him with the mental part of that transition as he goes into this camp and now the start of the season?
Well, I think they, you know, Elvis doesn't realize it as much, but Corpy, you know, we've talked about it a long time. There's not an aspect of any game that I have not been through. And whether it was sitting behind, like he sat behind Bob, I've sat beside Dominic Kasek and Curtis Joseph and Chris Osgood, you know. And the one year it was Curtis Joseph, Dominic Kasek, and myself. And I wasn't expected to play any games. And, you know, they were both making, you know, I think Dom was making 13 and Cujo was making 10, I think. And so I wasn't slated to play any. And I ended up playing the most, you know, because they both got hurt and injuries and contract things were going on. And I ended up playing the most. And,
But the year before, Dominic Hasek played 60-some-odd games. And I sat there for 3 weeks at a time, and you had to be ready. But the big difference between me and Corpy was I played 7 years in the minors, and I was a starter for 7 years in the minors. So I was playing 50, 60 games, right? And that was the big difference. He kind of came over here and made the jump. And the next thing you know, he was in the National Hockey League, 2 years in? And, Bob playing 60-some-odd games a year, you don't get that same thing. I was lucky that I got that experience to be a starter, and when, they got rid of, everybody got rid of, and Osgood came back in 05, I became a starter with the Red Wings, and then I went 3 years with St. Louis as a starter, and then, ended up going to Carolina, and Cam Ward got hurt, so I ended up being the starter there too. So I've seen both sides of what's going on in the mental side, and I think Corpy, he's realized that for a long time, and Elvis, I'm just a little guy. If you meet me, I don't look like a goalie at all. So, I just tell him to YouTube, just YouTube.
Talk with goaltending coach Manny Legacy. And then here's Elvis, who has played absolutely zero minor league games in North America. Now, again, the Swiss League, he has great experience coming from there, and we beat to death the whole thing during training camp, the smaller rink size, the angles, and all of that. But what was the conversation like with him after the Pittsburgh game, after the 7 goals that he gave up?
So the big thing was, we're talking posture and hand positions and everything like that, and he's like, this game was so much faster than preseason. I go, let me give you a little advice. I said, veterans don't care about preseason. They just don't. Even when you play their full lineup like you did against Pittsburgh, basically when he played against Pittsburgh, I think they were missing Crosby, Letang, and Hornquist, I think, wasn't playing. There was only three or four guys that weren't playing in the game. And he played well. Played really well, but you were getting half speed. You were getting half speed from Malkin. If they got a breakaway, they'd try. For 2-on-1, they'd try, but they're not getting in front of the net. They're not grinding out in the corners in preseason because it doesn't – they're just there to knock the rust off and get hit and bumped. And I said, now that the gate league has started, you're getting everybody's full effort every single night. You're getting these guys driving to the net, screens. Now they're bearing down on every single shot. They're just not coming over. I'm a little tired. I'm going to float one at the net and get off so I don't get hurt. They're coming in, they're grinding, they're going to put it on the bar because this matters now. And every point matters. I said, now you're seeing everybody's full release, full weight shifts, full traffic, and it's going to take some time to get adjusted to it. It is. It's a different game. It's dramatically different from over there to here. Over there, you're getting – there are a lot of good players over there. Don't get me wrong. But it's a different style. They hold on to the puck. They don't shoot it. Where here, it's these guys have had to learn over their bringing up how to release the puck. How am I going to beat these goalies because the goalies are so good now? Do I move the puck to my feet? Do I keep it out? Do I change the angle on release? Do I, drop my shoulder and then come high? Like, there's so many things that he has to learn. And the only way to learn is by playing. You can show him as much as you want in a video, but the only way you learn is by playing and getting the timing down and seeing the adjustments and where I can be aggressive, where I can't be aggressive. So it's going to take a little time.
But you've gotten to know him from working with him when he came over last year, mm-hmm. the one-on-ones that you had, same thing this year and through camp and all of that stuff, and even before camp started, actually. What have you learned about his personality and about his mental ability to take a situation like that and – find a way to use that as motivation to turn it around, all of those things? Because he seems like he says the right things, in the right way. But then again, all of that is just talk. But mm-hmm. I'm sure you know him a little bit better than that. What do you think?
I loved his interviews after the game. He took responsibility and, he says he has to be better. And, and the thing with the young guys, they let that fester and they let it compile and snowball, and that one bad start could turn into 4 bad starts in a hurry. And we did video the next day and he's angry, and I'm just like, let us listen. Like, there was a lot of good things because he played well. at times in that game. Like the first period and a half, he played extremely well. But then, you know, we had some breakdowns, and he didn't make saves on two-on-ones, and I think it was a three-on-two goal and stuff like that. And, you know, and then I think they scored, what, four or five goals in the second period?
Yeah, and you're right, four or five. Yeah. I think everyone lost track, yes. Unfortunately.
And I understand it's frustrating, and he goes, you know, I had dreamed about this my whole life, and I dreamed of a shutout. I go, well, it didn't happen. I said, but you can dream about a shutout in the second game. But if you live this game for the next week, it'll carry over to next weekend, and it'll carry over to the weekend after. And I said, stop. Like, there's a lot of good things we came out of this game. You played well. You know, you just didn't play 60 minutes well. You know, and you're now seeing the releases and everything that you didn't see in preseason. This is all brand new to you. This is learning. Let's learn from this game, and let's get better every game as we go along from here. And that's the big thing with young guys. They get so angry and they feel a little embarrassed. You know, you feel a little like, oh, I don't know. And you get that doubt. Well, he's got to forget it, because if he plays Anaheim or Carolina, they don't care. Let's feel sorry for Elvis. Let's bury Elvis.
Right.
You know?
They're looking at the last score.
Yes.
Right.
Right. And now Elvis has just got to let it go. And I said, even with a good game, if you get a shutout the next game, you got to let that go too. Just keep working on what is getting you to the next game, and working on what's going to make you better in this league. And that, good game or bad game, we got to travel this line. We can't have the peaks and valleys. I said, because you will kill yourself by Christmas.
Can he adjust to that speed in the practices that he goes through? Mm-mm. Or is it just going to be he's got to get into games and that's how he's going to learn it?
Yeah, you're going to get the release points and stuff like that. But coming off posts, getting out of, you know, a save, getting to your proper postures, getting to angles, that all has to come with playing, you know, and seeing the small ice and getting used to the guy coming down the boards. He could relax. Can't relax here. They could score from the boards now. Everybody shoots the puck that well. You know, it's just different mindsets and, you know, different preparation, getting ready for shots. They shoot from everywhere. They shoot from behind the net. They'd never shoot from behind the net overseas, because they'd get yelled at if the puck missed and went down the ice, because there's three other guys open. Well, these guys have no time, and our D is really good. You know, our forwards are really good. So they take away time and space. We just got to get used to them just throwing pucks at the net. You know, and it's just something you have to do, and you have to play. You have to get adjusted to tips and traffic, and you don't get the traffic and that in practice. Not like you do in a game with our guys and their guys in front and grinding away. And there's two layers and two different sizes of tips. And, you know, like the Hornquist goal, the first tip, he's like, well, I should have had it. I go, no, you shouldn't, because that's I don't care who's in net. It's coming at your chest, and then he tips it under the bar. That's an NHL tip. Like, I don't care who's in net. Doesn't matter who was in net, from Carey Price to Patrick Waugh. Doesn't matter. It was a great tip, and you got to tip your hat sometimes. Like, yeah, a couple of the other goals I'd be angry at. I get it, you know, but there are also some pretty good shots and pretty quick releases that you're not quite ready for yet, or weren't ready for. You didn't see those in the preseason. Now you're going to see them, you know. And, you know, it was a pretty good team we played too.
At least you guys let him wade into his career,
exactly.
Right?
Most talented teams in the National Hockey League. Well, good luck.
His teammates did try to help him out. They took Malkin out of that game.
Exactly.
But still, that wasn't enough. Talk with Manny Legacy, goaltending coach for the Blue Jackets. All right, we got all the business out of the way. Now, mm-hmm. I want to talk to you. You mentioned about some of the partners you had when you played. Uh-huh. Who was your favorite goaltending tandem partner that you played
Chris
with? Good. No hesitation.
No hesitation. He took me under his wing when I first got to Detroit, and we roomed together my first camp there. And, you know, he took me – there was no animosity. I came from L.A., and there was nothing. And I knew it was going to be him and Kenny Reggett that year, and he's right away. From the first – we played golf. We ended up going up – you do your physicals down – did our physicals, and you jump on the bus, and then you're up in Traverse City, because we stayed up in Traverse City for a month, and we were up there by 12 o'clock, so we had a tea time at 12:30, and, you know, he took me with, you know, it was Draper, Maltby, Darren McCarty, Ozzie, It was like 10 of us. You know, and he brought me right along. You know, he's like, hey, come with me. And we'll play some golf. You know I love golf. So I'm like, yeah. So we come back, and we ate at the clubhouse for dinner. And we had an 8 o'clock team meeting. And Ozzie goes, hey, dress like you're going out. I'm like, what? It's our first night. He goes, dress like we're going out. I'm like, okay. So we sit together in the meeting, and, you know, Kenny Holland talks and Scotty Bowman talks, and they handled this rule sheet, and it's got like 15, 20 rules, like no fighting, you know, 3-hour rule, you know, your dress code and all that stuff. And I'm like, curfew, 11 o'clock. And I'm like, Ozzie, it's my first training camp. I go, I'm not going out. And he goes, Manny, read the last line. And I say, skip everything, read the last line. Shuttles run till 3 a.m. I go, oh, he goes, it's all about bonding. Hockey gets in the way. He says, you're coming out with us. So he took me right from day one. He took me right under his wing from day one. And, you know, we became really good friends. And, you know, he's fun to be around. And there was just nothing. You know, Cujo and I got along. Dom and I got along really well. And even though he was in Dom's world, you know, he called me even long talks and had dinner trying to talk him out of not retiring. And come back and try and win a cup back-to-back. And, you know, he wouldn't buy it. And then he came back the next year anyway. So we could have won two cups in a row. We could have run three cups in a row. But, yeah, I don't – if you want to flip the switch, I don't even – I don't remember having a bad – well, L.A., where there was a one guy. But, you know, it was – that was probably it. And I can think of the National Hockey League where I had a bad guy who was a tandem, you know.
Well, it's such a unique position where there are two of you,
mm-hmm.
and you do something completely different from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you don't do it right, everybody else is mad at you. Mm-hmm. But you almost have to bond with that guy, right? And there's the competition,
yep.
of wanting to be the starter and wanting to play more than the other guy, but you got to bond.
Mm-hmm. Even when, you know, especially in Detroit, we always knew who the starter was. Like, it was Chris Osgood and then Cujo, or Dom, Cujo. There was always that. So there was, I knew my role. I was just happy to be here and just happy to go to breakfast and lunch, you know? And so that was, and I didn't pursue it like anything else. That was their job. And I tried to focus around what they were doing. But with goalies, we work together, you know, before you're going, you're doing your goalie drills, it's together, you know, everything is together. And it wasn't until Carolina where, you know, they separated it from the starter, and which was weird. And then, you know, it was different. You know, but that was everything else we did together. Like, it was Dom and I, or Cujo and I, and, you know, Jimmy Bedard would have us working together. You know, so you have to bond. You know, and you know it's working on stuff and helping each other out. And but I knew my role, and I didn't force the. You know, what you see now. You know, what you see is what you get. So, you know, we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. Yeah.
You wish that NHL teams would still do those kind of training camps where you just get out of town?
Yeah, I think it bonds. There's a reason why, if you look back at, I understand we were a great team. Like, our lineup speaks for itself. It's 98% Hall of Famers, you know, and I get we had talent. But by the time we'd left Traverse City, every single year we were a team because we'd fish, we'd play golf, always out to dinner, then always cocktails after. Like, it was, they did it for that reason, just to bring everybody back together. And you have a bunch of stars in your team. It could have been easily four guys going this way, one guy going this way, two other guys going this way. And we were built with Russians, Swedes, Americans. Like, we weren't just all one. Like, but by the time we had left Traverse City, we were all like from the same place, and everybody was the same. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if the whole team was at dinner. Hey, we're going here. Okay, yep, I'm in. But it wasn't like two guys would go here. It was a group of guys would go to this restaurant. I don't feel like steak tonight, so a group of guys would go to this restaurant, mm-hmm. a seafood restaurant. You know, and it wasn't like three guys here. It was, that's the way it was. Guys who played golf, guys who fished in that, but then we always met out after, you know, and that was the reasoning behind it. And but you look at every start of every year, we'd go on a tear. By Christmas, we were already in the playoffs. You know, that I understand we were a good hockey team. I get it. But by Christmas, we were always in the playoffs. Like, we were resting for the last 2 months. We were resting guys. And sometimes that hurt us, you know, losing in the first round. You have teams that are playing for the playoffs and playing playoff hockey for 2 months where we weren't. And sometimes it hurt us, you know. And you get shocked by a team that just barely makes in and they're playing playoff hockey. And we, all of a sudden, we blink and the first round goes by so fast. You know, it's a week. Well, it's almost a week and a half. Mm-hmm. It's gone. You know, especially if you lose too early. You're like, ooh, this is ro-ro, you know. But I loved it. I wish every team would do it. I tried to do it in St. Louis after my second year because I didn't see Keith Tkachuk. My first year there, I saw – we went out to dinner, went and watched Sunday night football – or Sunday football. There was a group of us right before training camp started. Then I didn't see him again until the last preseason game. Because we didn't play preseasons together. We were four teams at the camp. And with his kids doing baseball and hockey, and his daughter was doing soccer, I believe, and he was always gone out of the rink. Like, he was gone. Like, I never saw him. Till the last preseason game is when I saw him. And then, like, that, for two, what was it, almost 3 weeks, I never saw Keith Tkachuk, except playing against him in the scrimmage. That was it, you know, and I was like, there's something wrong here. Coming from Detroit for 6 years, having like a – we were a team. So I tried to bring us – we went to the Lakes of the Ozarks. But the problem was our coach, Andy Murray, didn't – like I wanted to do our testing and everything. So when we went there, we could just have fun. Well, he wouldn't let us do the testing. So we went there, and guys were just so petrified of the testing and the physicals and all that stuff. So we'd – and then – golf cart flipped over and it freaking blew out our rookie's leg. It was a disaster. So it backfired on me, but if it would have been done the way I wanted to with Andy, just like, let's do our testing, the whole team could do the testing, then we all go there, we could have just had a blast. You know, now we have guys that are just kind of looking at each other because they're so worried about the testing, and you have the guys in the bubble who are so worried about that testing instead of being part of a team. And the whole thing was to get the guys together and be a unit, and it backfired.
At least it backfired big time, it sounds like. So that's, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I did it right. It really backfired it.
Talking with Manny Legacy, he's the Blue Jackets goaltending coach. And what's it like to work for John Tortorella, who is a throwback old school guy? But and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's an old school guy that has made adjustments as he's had to with today's player, mm-hmm. with today's young people. Mm-hmm. I think he's doing about as good as you can do. But what's it like for you working for him?
I love the man. I was petrified coming in here because I had no idea. I talked to Lars because Lars and I were really good friends before I got here. And he was explaining to him, but you don't – you're like, but you see all the interviews and you see what he does. And you and the man is doesn't like the media.
Believe me, I know.
Yeah, so everybody knows. But – when you get to know the man, it is like he's the shirt off your back type person, with his dog rescues, with his horse rescues, with what he does for people, and the way he treats everybody. It's amazing what this man is. He's totally opposite of what you see in the public eye, and he's a really great human being. And trust me, you don't want to be on his bad side, you know. He can get angry, and I would not want to be on his bad side. But when you get to, like, and it doesn't take long. Like, it's not like you have to be around him for a couple, like, you know, within a couple hours what type of person he was. Like, when I met him, like, he's going out of his way to come see and greet you and make sure everything's all right. And I'm like, okay, this is not the person I was seeing. Like, is this the imposter? Is there someone else going to come up? Does Torts 2 come out of the closet here in a little bit? You know, and it's like he's an unbelievable human being, unbelievable, and it shocked me. And everybody asks me the same question every summer: what's John like? Is he crazy and just tirades? I go, nope. But he's like pulling teeth to try and talk to him. I mean, to get him to talk, you know. And he rips on guys; we rip on him, and you know, it's we laugh, and it's he's just a great human being. And just to see what he does away from this rink and everything he does to support everybody, especially the veterans. You know, obviously his son is part of the military, and, you know, what he does on that side is it's remarkable how much time he gives up.
I get the same thing. People talk to me, whether it's in town here, whether it's, you know, when I go back home in the summertime, whether it's around the league, people always say, oh, what's it like working with him?
Yeah.
And I love watching their face when you say, it's great.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Love it.
You know, because as you just said, if you got to cut through the layers, but if you can, it's great. And I just, because I'm always, so many people will ask you and they're waiting for the terrible story.
Oh, he's just an asshole. He's like hard and he's grumpy all the time. And, you know, that's what everyone thinks. Like, I think he's grumpy. And because I finally just started asking him, go, what do you think? He's like, you know, he's grumpy, he's miserable. I go, totally wrong. He is 180 the other way. And they're like, really? I go, I love the man to death. Like, if he was here, he doesn't like to be in crowds. He doesn't like to be around people. And but when you're one-on-one, you're, like, in our office, like, and you see him with the people in the public, and you see him. We walk. Everybody knows him. Like, it's amazing when we go to every city. Boston last year, cars would stop. Guys would jump out with their cell phones and take selfies. What does he do? Like, he doesn't, you know, hey. Let's go take a picture. Yeah, let's go. Hey, kid, you want to sign autographs? He takes time, and it's, like, amazing. And it's everywhere. We walk down the street, and it'll be all the whole coaching staff, and Torts, a bus driver pulled the bus over and opened the door. Torts, how are you? Go get him today. And he's like, thanks, man, appreciate it. Like, he has time for everybody. It's not like he walks with his head down, or he walks to the rinks every day, and it's not like he just, nope, I'm not going to talk to anybody. Get out of the way. It's like, you see, you want a picture with him? Like, he's... arms are wide open. He gets off the bus when guys at, like, he is an totally opposite of what people see. He hates dumb questions. I'll give you that. Like, you ask him a dumb question, he will bury you. He doesn't like the media. He's never liked the media. You know, I probably the Canadian up in Vancouver media probably really tarnished his outlook on it. But when he's away from the media, it's he's a great human being. Love the man to death. He's awesome. And you know where you stand. Like, he's honest on everything he says. Everything he does is honest. Like, it's for the purpose of being a good person. And that's the what he's like, and that's why we lose his life. And it's awesome. See, I've learned a lot from being around him.
And it's refreshing. It really is refreshing. Yeah. Manny, I've got one more thing for you. With Anaheim coming in here, you know, there have been teams in California now for a long time with the Kings out there, and you talked about being with them before. But I believe Long Beach was one of the stops in your career, back in the old International Hockey League, right? What do you remember about playing hockey at Long Beach?
Long Beach?
Yeah.
I loved it because I went from Vegas the year before, and this is when I was just basically starting golf. So, you know, my golf game got a lot better by playing in Vegas and then playing in Long Beach because I got to play golf after every day after practice. So, you know, that's where I really – because I didn't pick up golf till I was 21, 22 because all the guys were playing. I'm like, I better pick up this game. You know, I probably played a handful of times before that and in my life. And, you know, I better pick up this game. Everyone's playing and having fun, and I'm missing out, you know, listening to the stories in the dressing room. And, you know, playing there was awesome. You know, I love warm weather. My wife hates warm weather. She loves it. Like, we're totally opposite. So 90 degrees and humid, I love it. Like, I'll play golf all day long at it. And being out there, we're walking on the beach at Christmas. Like, it's awesome. Open our presents and, hey, we're walking on the beach. This is unbelievable. You know, my daughter was riding her bike on the boardwalk. You know, this is amazing. You know, I loved it, and the people supported it. And, you know, in L.A., Gretzky obviously brought the whole hockey world to L.A. and California. And obviously I was there. He was with the Rangers by that time. And, you know, I only got a chance to play against him once. But when he came to town, it was like Jesus walked into California. It was amazing what he's done for hockey in California. And, you know, I was one of the recipients of it. And playing with Long Beach was a great organization. Who was the owner there? Who was the owner? A big movie producer, Brockheimer. Brockheimer was our owner, you know. So we had stars in our room all the time. It was Van Boxmeer was our coach, and I loved it. I thought, you know, we were 5,000-6,000 people every night, you know, and we were at a good team. We had a pretty good team, and we ended up losing to Houston in one of the Calder Cup that year. So it was
But it was a lot of fun playing, and I ended up playing most of the year in L.A. that year. So I played like 19 or 20 games that year in L.A. So spent most of the time there. But California was a lot of fun. Expensive. Freaking gas was over $4 back then. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, even at all that, I can see you being the flip-flop and shorts kind of guy going to practice, no doubt.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But it got cold in January and February. It was chilly. You know, it was 65. It was.
Yeah. Feel bad for you. Really, really feel bad. Manny, thanks so much for doing this. I appreciate it. Always great to talk to you. And even though some of our best conversations we can't put on the air, I enjoyed this one.
Thank you very much, my friend.
That's Blue Jackets goaltending coach Manny Legacy, the man of 1,000 stories, and we only got to a couple of them right there. The Blue Jackets taking on the Anaheim Ducks tonight, 7 o'clock faceoff at Nationwide Arena. Our pregame coverage will start at 6:30 this evening on the Blue Jackets radio network, and that includes the flagship station in Columbus, 97.1 The Fan. Blue Jackets will be looking to make it back-to-back wins before hitting the road and going to Carolina tomorrow. So let's hope they can do what they did on Monday, put it all together, play a good solid 60-minute game, and pick up two more points on home ice. Till tonight, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.